Good evening. Our scripture text tonight will be out of 2 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 10. We welcome you to this evening service for our Mission Sunday. A little bit of the layout for the service. After my opening, Wilmer and Shannon will have their presentation. And then Derek Nell will come up for the closing prayer. During that closing prayer, we're going to ask Micah and Mimi to come up and have laying on hands, since they'll be leaving here shortly. And send them off with a blessing. So we're going to read from 2 Corinthians 3. Starting at verse 1 through 10. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us to be able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. All who are able, would you please kneel for prayer?
What a privilege it is to be here with you again. It was such a joy to be able to share with you, not just this morning during the worship time, but during the time of fellowship afterwards. I was greatly encouraged, and I want to just bless you with the work that you have going on, that the Lord would continue to do the work that he has in you and that he is doing in and through you. And So God bless you richly. I wasn't really sure how much to say here or not say as it relates here to 1 Corinthians 3. And so there's a whole message, maybe two or so, in just this passage alone. But we don't have time for two or three messages, okay? So if you have your Bible still open to that passage, I'd like to point out just a couple of things that have stood out to me as I started looking at this Sunday of last week in particular. So the Apostle Paul, and I know it's a bigger scope where he is writing the second letter, or at least the second letter, back to the church at Corinth, and to see how this relates, not just with Paul writing to the Corinthian church, but also to see what it does in your life and in mine. And that's the part that I have been encouraged at as I look at it. He's not looking for letters of commendation from himself or somebody else. It was already done through the fruit that was brought forth for the seeds that he had sown. His work and his word, it spoke for themselves. Verse 5 in particular, Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God or is from God. It's not what we conjure up, but it's from God. Because God is the one who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Carefully, he's made us ministers of the new covenant, not the letter, but rather of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And then he goes on to recall to mind the response of the people whenever Moses went up into the mountain to receive the law of God, and he came down with the tables of stone, with the Ten Commandments, but not only to come down with the Ten Commandments in his hand, he also came down with what God had spoken to him for their law. And we may call it the Levitical law, we may call it the Mosaic law, a number of different names for that, and I know there may be some peculiar differences there, but for benefits for right now, I'm going to kind of lump it all together into one. Now, he says that that law or that ministry, it was carved in stone, but rather it was a ministry of death. So how is it that what God gave to Moses was what would bring about death? It was so much so that in the midst of that, the glory that God had given to Moses, or as God was presenting this plan to Moses, his face shone. Remember that? He had to veil his face because it shone so brightly and they couldn't look on his face. And he says, so if it gave that kind of a response to Moses, as he was in the presence of God, bringing with him the letter that kills, the ministry of death. Paul would say in another place, it's because, does it make the law null and void, or does it make the law of to be worthless? He said, no, because by the law I know what sin is. I have the definition of right and wrong by the law. But here in another place, he's saying, the Spirit that we get, the ministry that comes from the Spirit, is even more glorious than what Moses had received. For if, verse 9, this ministry that Moses received and brought down brought about condemnation, what about that of righteousness, the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ? How much greater is that glory going to exceed the glory that Moses had? And indeed, verse 10, for sure, even in this case, that glory would become no glory at all. That glory would fade, and there would be a greater glory that surpasses it. Now, last Sunday, as I was looking at this, if you or I would have looked out to the night sky, we would have seen the full moon and all of its grandeur and all of its glory, and how it's great big and it's orange and it's red and it's yellow and it's, depending on where it's at along the horizon, all kinds of different colors. And at night, it shines so brightly that you don't even need a flashlight, especially if the clouds are not getting in the way. And so we say, wow, look at the moon. I don't even need a flashlight. I can see right where I'm going. Maybe I can drive with my headlights off. Don't try it. But you could sometimes perhaps ride a bicycle without having the headlights on because of all the glory that this moon brings out. Well, 2 weeks later, and so for next week, you will see the same moon full, but it will travel during the day sky. And on our calendars and in science, we say that is the new moon. It's the same moon. You're seeing the same face of the moon, but one of them has full of lightness. But the other one, what we'll see next week, this full moon as it passes across the sky, its glory has faded because there's a much greater glory that is being shown forth during the day. Do you get that? We'll be able to see it. It'll still be there. It'll just be white. Won't have any other color to it. It'll just be white. But the grandeur of the sun makes the glory of the moon pale. So, verse 10, what once was glory, like what Moses had in the law, or the moon, full moon, now doesn't have any glory or brightness or grandeur at all. because there's something better that shines even brighter, Jesus Christ, and the transformation work that he does in your heart and in mine, and not just in our heart, but in our life, and how it radiates out through our countenance, in this analogy of the sun. Verse 11, if we were to continue reading, says the end, that moon, that its glory kind of comes to an end, but now what the sun has brought forth is a more permanent glory. And every day, as long as it's not cloudy, every day we see the sun in its permanent glory shining brightly, don't we? Well, what about the S-O-N, sun? What about the S-O-N, sun, the work that he has done in your life and in mine? Now what happens? As we read, if we were to continue reading all of the rest of this passage, he would speak to the blindness or the veil that is over the Jewish people even in today. And in Poland, there's plenty of religion to go around. Shannon might speak to some of that a little bit more. But Poland is primarily Catholic. There are Catholic churches and basilicas all over the place. You'll see a few slides of that. So there's plenty of religion. And the nuns as they walk around and so forth. But I rarely see a nun with a smile on her face. Why not? There's a veil that is there in front of the Jews, in front of perhaps these nuns. And so whenever Moses is read, again, thinking specifically, Paul is making mention specifically a comparison to the Jewish people in their synagogues. Whenever the Old Testament law would still be read, they didn't quite get it. There was something that was covering their faces and they couldn't see. In the analogy I gave before, it was overcast. The clouds were barring the glory of the moon and that of the sun, and it was overcast. But verse 16, when someone turns to the Lord, that veil is removed and there is glory and joy in that person's heart. And it radiates out through his or her spirit. It's just there. You can't hold it back. Because of this new work that is going on. And he ends with verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, or from one degree of glory to the next, continuing to get brighter and brighter and brighter as this comes, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, because this comes to us by the Lord through the Holy Spirit working in your life and in mine. Isn't that beautiful? So what is radiating out of your life? And perhaps if we were to go simply by the letter of the law, we may be able to put across a certain amount of grandeur and brightness, the full moon. But if we allow our lives to be transformed by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, there's a brightness that's there even on a cloudy day. Again, you can unpack that some more. That's just in a very brief nutshell what I sensed that I needed to share with you. Because as we were there in Poland visiting Carla, I'll share with some of that later on as we start looking through some of these slides that are going on. The songs that you led us in, brother, were very good songs. They spoke to us about the 90 and 9, the response of, I need to find my right chords, here we go. The response that takes place in the grandeurs of heaven whenever the 90 and 9, someone from those 90 and 9 come out. Let's see what we can get put together here. I want to begin for sure by thanking my daughter, Kaylin, for putting this together. She did it in a very quick manner, and now it says my password isn't correct, so maybe I ought to try hers instead of mine and see if it works. Ah, there it is. All right. She put it together quickly. I've done these before, but there's always something better about, all right, let me see. I want this one and this one. See if that works. There we go. There we go. Sometimes these younger folks can put them together so much quicker and more adequately than I can. And so sometimes you just ask pretty please and delegate and whatever else, and so it happens. So more specifically, what I have to share with you is a report on the work that Carla is doing and some of the scenes that our family was able to enjoy. We were over in Poland the end of June, first part of July. And so the bulk of what I have to share with you today deals with that, because you have been very gracious to support Carla in the work that she's doing there. And I felt that it was specifically important for you to share how she is doing and the work that you have been contributing there to her. She began sowing seeds quite a few years ago, but before she went over, Shannon called me like the end of April of 23, first of May, something like that. And we've known each other since we've been yay big, probably. And he said, hey, Wilmer, I just had this thought. And I've done enough by saying, not trying to figure out if everything is right or wrong. I'm just going to wing it, and you can say yes or no or whatever else. So, yeah, that's Shannon. And that's kind of me along that way, too. And I was like, okay, say on. What in the world do you have up your sleeve now? And he says, we need some more workers over in Poland. And I had known about the work in Poland for a number of years. I've had some cousins and some other friends who have served over there. But I knew about it, but I didn't know much really about it. And he was asking specifically about Isaac, our son Isaac, who is living out in Montana. And as I listened to him unload with what all he was wanting, it was like this was the Macedonian call. And you led us in that song that speaks about the Macedonian call and to send the light. I think that's in Acts 16 or something like that. It's on the lower left-hand corner in my Bible. So if you have one like mine, that's where you'll find it. Somewhere there in the middle of Acts. And where Paul has a vision where somebody says, can you come over and help us? And that was the Macedonian call for Carla. She had been serving as head cashier at a grocery store. She had her favorites that would come in and say, I'm going to wait for Carla because I want her to check me out. She would usually be sitting there going about her work, and she would be humming or singing quietly a song that meant something to her. And people would come up and say, hey, I like that song. That just made my day. I really needed to hear that. And so the idea of where you are as seed sowers, as I talked about this morning, it can be a cashier, okay? It can be on the farm and the people that you meet. It most definitely can be motherhood or fatherhood or teaching in a school or you name it. You can be seed sowers wherever you're at. And some of those people that she met today or met there in that store, whenever she found out that she's going over to Poland, says, can I have your phone number so that I can text you regularly and pray for you? And some of those customers that don't look anywhere like us pray for her regularly as she felt the Macedonian call. And she said, what in the world do I want to do with Poland? It's never been on my radar at all or not. But in seeking the direction of the Lord, she felt that's where the Lord had asked her to go. So she answered the call. You as a congregation here at Pleasant Hill helped to minister unto her needs so that she could get there and so that she can stay there. And so on behalf of her, I want to thank you. She does have a message for you here at the church shortly. So thank you and God bless you richly for your financial support that you have been to her and to us. You know, to go over to Poland to learn, well, they claim that in heaven, we're probably going to be speaking Polish because it will take an eternity to learn. Somebody else has determined that on the scale of world religion, it is the sixth hardest language to learn. And I'll have a slide up there to show you about that later on. And whenever she was ready to go, I think it'll be this coming week, a year ago, it was really weighing heavy on this father's heart. You see, Yevgeny Prigozhin, the leader of the Wagner Group, had been on his rampage through Ukraine and through Russia, and he said, "I'm coming after Poland next." I was saying goodbye to my oldest child, not knowing if I would ever see her again on this side of eternity. I knew that if this man came through with his threats, I was confident that I would see her again. But I'm not sure who was the most homesick in the first couple months. And I know that what the scriptures say that about God and his love for all the world, he does not take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. I know that he says that. I'm just going to confess to you that in my frailty, whenever his plane went down, there was a little bit of a sigh of relief in this father. Because that threat was real, and I'm still living in the flesh. So as she moves over to Poland to serve under AIM, and we'll give Shannon some time to speak a little bit more about the various branches of AIM and what all they do. Ukraine is down here. All right, now I did it. All right, what'd I do? Here we go. This is what I want. Ukraine's down here in this bottom side. Here's Warsaw, the capital. Former the capital is Krakow, or Krakow, however the Polish say it. Now I'll let Shannon say that properly. And she is in close to where this star is at, just east of Warsaw, Minsk, Mazowiecki. How did I do?
Really good.
Okay, close. He said I was close. I'll let him tell you the right thing later on. I'm sorry. It's hard enough for me to keep all the English grammar right, let alone to speak Polish, and you'll find out later on. So that is where she is serving. There are 6 hours of time zones between us. She's that much further ahead of us. So when we try to get together a family call, and I say, "Well, I'll wake up first thing in the morning and give you a call," well, she's already in the afternoon already. Until I get off of work, she's wanting to be in bed. So it takes some ingenuity to make it work. So she is 6 hours ahead of us, and so just keep that in mind. If you send her texts or voice messages through WhatsApp, she answers to WhatsApp and Telegram. That works out quite well. She can do voice phone calls, just like, you know, I were to call you through WhatsApp, through internet sources, and FaceTime and so forth with that. So that's where she is at. We went into Warsaw. And in this first area of Warsaw, this first palace, this is the Palace of Culture and Science in downtown Warsaw. And then you end up, as we climbed or took an elevator all the way to the top to look out over the city. The city itself is actually fairly modern. It looks like a fairly modern city with all the high rises and plenty of construction going on right down here at the bottom side of it. So it's a fairly modern city. But I would describe the culture as being very secular. Religion might be wide, but Christianity is an inch deep. Okay, it's just not much there. And so it has a very secular culture to it. Yes?
The back there, the Palace of Culture, point to that one. That was built in the 80s, and it was a gift to the Poles from Joseph Stalin. It was built by the Soviets.
In 1980?
Somewhere in the,
built in the 80s by Joseph Stalin as a gift to the Polish people. Thank you.
Actually, longer ago than that, right after World War II, I'm sorry.
Right after World War II, it says. This is the current president's palace. For us, we would call it the White House. This is currently where he lives there in Warsaw. And another view of the palace a little bit more at night. Plenty of rooms there for it. It's very much an old town. Many of this dates back hundreds and hundreds of years. And so here for Pennsylvania, if we find something that reaches back to the 1700s, we say that's old. Okay, so for them, some of this architecture and some of this basic stuff, you know, this reaches back to the 1500s and some of it even to the 900 and 1000 time period. So it looks very similar to many other Ukrainian European countries that have some type of a Soviet influence to it. This would be kind of some of the main market square, people walking. If you have a car, it's going to be a small one. There's no place to park an F-150. You're just not going to park it there unless you have a garage way around the side somewhere. This would have been the king's palace of many years ago. Beautiful flowers and landscaping all around, and I don't know how this compares to Solomon's palace, but that's just a huge palace. And yeah, he even needs his own personal bathhouse, and I'm not sure how big his shower needs to be, but this is his bathhouse. Now we go back into Minsk, and I'm just going to stop there. I'll let you finish saying the rest of the name for that, Shannon. We're going back to Minsk and seeing some of the sites that we saw around there with Carla. As you walk in from the train station, because that's a very common means of transportation, you walk, you have electric scooters, a bus occasionally, but oftentimes trains from one place to the next. Just a few blocks away from the train station there in Minsk, you come past the church, and I'm going to leave Shannon deal with what all actually goes on there. But Agape, and you can see the word Mennonite, that's the place where they have rented, where they worship, and it's also the gateway to English, where the teaching actually takes place for the students to teach them English. And some of the time, they have Polish teachers coming there to teach them Polish as well. So that will be the welcome sign. This is currently the group that are currently teaching in the Gateway to English. Carla, of course, Brenda Weaver. She's a widow from up our way, up Mifflinburg direction. And she just moved over at the beginning of the year in January. And, then Kristen. And I'm not sure where she's from, but she's been there for a couple years. And Kirk is from Kurt, Indiana?
From Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, and he's been there a couple years. Matt Ginrich is kind of a director. These are the ones, and Matt is married, his wife and two children are over there. And then also Matt's sister and her husband and two children are serving there as well. And again, I'll let Shannon give you more information about that. Matt has the gift of tongues. He has been able to pick up on the Polish language very, very well. He did a very good job of interpreting for me the Sunday that we were over there whenever I gave the word. And as the Polish, as the Ukrainian refugees are coming to there, he has been able to pick up on the Ukrainian language very quickly. He said there's just something that he just picks it up. And I know his father much better than I do him. His father and I go way back in time. And so pray for Matt. And again, that's a big responsibility there as he manages the different tongues and so forth. But he does a good job. Here would be in there upstairs, so a general place with restrooms and a couple of different meeting places. This would be after church. And so their church meeting house is about as big as your small little ante room over here, and that's about all the larger their room would be where they meet to worship. A couple other small classrooms off the side of it. Some of the other youth from that area, and again, many of these have a form of godliness, perhaps, but there's still a veil upon some of their faces. And they're still looking for someone to share with them the light of the gospel. There are parks all over the place. And so just a couple blocks down the road, beautiful parks to just go and enjoy. Very rarely will you see air conditioning unless it's a commercial building, unless you're someone extra wealthy. And so you just go outside. It was kind of warm over there. We had a day where it was in the 90s, but the humidity is very low. So it does make it rather bearable. If it's not raining, the humidity might be down in the 50s somewhere, so it certainly doesn't feel like the oppressive Pennsylvania heat that we had. So all of this is right here in Minsk. So what can you buy? Yeah, you can find your DeWalt and Honda and your Karch washers, power washers, and so forth. But on the bottom side, as you walk up and down, many of these streets are still with pavers. The bottom side would be shops. And so you might find pizza, you might find coffee. And by the way, they have real coffee, okay? You order a coffee, you might get one that's about as much of a shot glass, but it is the real deal espresso, and it is very delicious. Pastries galore, and I'll show you some of the food sources that you have. So there's plenty of foods, books, anything else that you need are in these small first-level shops. And then up above, people live. So the majority of people will live in an apartment, a one-bedroom, two-bedroom apartment, and this is how you live. You might have a small balcony to be able to hang your clothes out over top because you'll have a small, with not much humidity, just a small clothes rack to throw your clothes over top of, and with fans, leave it inside, and it'll be dry till you get back from work the next day, or else be able to hang it outside. So you'll see numerous balconies that are all there. And yes, by the way, for you builders, they don't have OSHA to deal with over there, so don't try to make some of those comparisons as you deal with some of the steps. And ADA is not there either. This is the large basilica, the St. Mary's Basilica. It was founded in 1222. Now, this portion is not the original with that, but like many other basilicas, they keep building onto it more and more and more. Unfortunately, they're doing some renovation work to this main tower. And legend has it up here in the top side, way back a couple hundred years ago, instead of a bell chiming away the hours, there'll be a man that comes out, and to the four corners, north, south, east, and west, he starts to blast away on his trumpet a tune, but he never finishes it. It stops like mid where it's not supposed to stop whenever you're singing something. And that goes back to a time many years ago as he was doing his job. There was a war going on, and an archer shot him in the neck with an arrow, and his trumpet blast as he was playing the trumpet for the hours and also to give directions. The arrow landed in his neck, and he died mid-trumpet blast. And so in reference to that, you can still be here in Krakow and hear that trumpet sound out at the top of every hour. Right across the road from this, there's this huge market square, and this will be an old cloth textile factory. Underneath of that, they've done some renovations, and you can see some old cobblestones, and they've found old skeletons and artifacts and so forth that date back 1,000 years. Incredibly very, very interesting. And so this would have been a place where merchants would come and trade their merchants, whatever it was that they had. And there's just all kinds of stuff if you walk on the inside. Of small little shops for souvenirs or actually needs that people have. This big marketplace is just, it's just huge. And every evening somebody is setting up, playing something else, or singing, or having a party. It's just a big common crossing with about, 10 different streets or so coming off into that place. Probably close to that. We came off from lunch or from dinner one time, and I heard this sound going on. It sounded like a full symphony. I was like, where is that from? And here's two fellas. What's that? So some of you magicians, musicians may recognize this is a very difficult piece from Vivaldi. And these two guys are playing it with accordions. You can see in his little spot, they have CDs and so forth from it. And I only caught just a piece of it, but you see whenever he gets finished with it, he's got to rest his hand. It was pretty phenomenal. This is a Ukrainian instrument that we've come across different times, a bandura. Paul, Duane, did you ever run into the bandura there? So the long piece kind of plays like a bass note, and this part is more like a harp. And this lady and another man, and there's another lady over here with the same bandura, and they played over by a big gate, the Florian Gate, numerous times, and very pretty, very pretty music. This is also in Krakow. It's a big castle, so I have a different idea of what a city set on a hill looks like, okay? I have a different idea of what perhaps Babylon or Nineveh looks like as you see these large thick walls and everything else in it. This is part of a big cathedral that is there on the inside, and we'll see a picture of that later on. And then you had some of these great big old watchtowers, and we were up into that one. And you'll see some of those pictures later on. So inside the cathedral, just the grandeur and the beauty and the gold. And when I walk inside something like this, I wonder how this compared to Solomon's temple. And I just don't know, but it's something that always comes to my mind. So this was a place that was used up until fairly recent. Back up. Here we go. Over here on a throne is where Pope John Paul would sit from time to time, because he was a Polish pope. Some of you would remember him. And there's also a place of coronations for new kings and new presidents, and they use that quite frequently. The sad thing about this cathedral is all of the dead bodies and bones and so forth that are all scattered throughout. It was actually pretty depressing. Walked up into a big tower. This bell was a gift. That bell is almost 8 feet wide and almost 8 feet tall. The whole scope of it, with the great big oak yoke at the top side, and the whole size of this bell, all of that weighs almost 28,000 pounds. Okay, so you're looking at 14 tons. And yeah, they have plenty of big cranes over there now, but that's not how they got it up there. I have no idea. And so you can see the big massive beams just make an oak bank barn look small. They do still ring that on special national occasions and so forth. And then we were able to go down into the dragon's den. And so now there's 150 steps or so all the way down to the dragon's den. And we made it, but he didn't. So I'm not sure if he came out of the book of Daniel or what, with all of his extra legs and grotesqueness, but coming out the bottom side was what they called the dragon's den in this castle. Okay, as far as food goes, wow. I tell you what, their food is, I wish we could have some of their food over here in America. I promise you, it's like real. I mean, even their McDonald's is way better than the McDonald's here, because you get real meat, and instead of some type of iceberg lettuce, it's usually, now I forget the name of it, arugula that will be on it, and everything is very, very fresh. So here is a pretzel type, and on the inside is like a jelly of some kind, and you'll find shops that will have these things fresh kind of all day long. Come and get it, and it's not that terribly expensive either. For those of you who remember Sound of Music and all that going on, here's your Vienna Schnitzel that they had, a pork type of a meat, and potatoes. You're going to find potatoes at almost every meal. Okay, potatoes, pork and potatoes is a very common meal that they would have. They would have that most every day. Plenty of your coffees, other pastries, your juices. You go order a juice, it is the real pressed orange juice with the pulp still in it. I mean, they just squeezed it for you. It's not something made out of concentrate. So food-wise, yeah, it's good food. Many of you will recognize this. We did take a day to go over to Schwarzenau, or to Auschwitz-Birkenau. And this is the only picture that I took of this, because it's too heavy. Out of Poland, there were the majority of the Jews who died because of the Holocaust were Polish. And then the Polish common people, many of those were killed also, along with many Jehovah's Witnesses. And so frequently along some of the different street corners, you'll see Jehovah's Witnesses with their, you know, track rack, and they're not even as high pressure as they are here. I don't know if they go door to door over there or not, but they're there on the streets with their material. And so because Jehovah's Witnesses are non-resistant, or at least, you know, pacifists according to, you know, going to war, many of those were burnt in the ovens of Auschwitz also. Gives a different light and thought pattern whenever you can actually walk the streets of such humanitarian horror. Over close to that, about 220 meters away from Birkenau, someone else put me up to this. He said, if you get a chance to go over there, go to the Fountain of Tears. Fountain of Tears? Fountain of Tears. And a man by the name of Rick, he was a Canadian, and whenever he became a believer at about the age 20, the Lord impressed upon him a love for the Jewish people. And so he started studying it, but he's a sculptor. And it's just a small little area. You need a call ahead because it's in the basement of his house, pretty much. We're on the first level of his house. And showing the pain and the agony that the Jewish people suffered, but also liken it to what Jesus suffered also. So I'll go through this very quickly. And if you want to ask me some more about it afterwards, you can. Here's Jesus holding the cup, asking, Father, would you please let this pass away from me? This cup of suffering that I have is just too much. Lord, please let it pass, but not my will, but yours be done. And then you have the different sayings of Jesus on the cross in order, with the raised part of the sculpture is Jesus on the cross, and every little thing means something by the turning of his hand. I'm no artist, but I appreciate when someone else does a very good job. And then the bronze parts are that of the Jewish people crying out to God in their pain and agony. Father, forgive them. Let me see. I'm not sure what all they are in the order anymore because it's a different order than I am used to seeing it. But that cry from beginning to end, all the way to it is finished. But that's not where it stays. Because in the end, and we know this as a story about Jesus Christ, in the end, the cup was empty. Because it's over. And for us, there'll be a time when the cup is empty also. Suffering will be over. And then we'll sing the song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Maybe you're familiar with that song. Here's a picture of a sculpture of a boy reaching his hand through one of the crematorium furnace doors to the outside, trying to see the grass and a butterfly, and there's a whole story behind that. Right now, Carla is helping with the Hope Singers. And I sent a link out to it, and if you would like to listen to it, remember, think 6 hours ahead of us, so they're sleeping now, okay? But you can follow different places. We'll have Facebook Live. I didn't see any on YouTube Live. Maybe they're there, maybe they're not. But this is the group that is over there currently, most of them from here in America. Carla is right here in the center. Fellow behind her is Adam. He would be a Polish native. I don't know much about him except his name is Adam, and I spoke with him just a little bit. Shannon, maybe you know more about him, maybe you don't. And then there's a couple other of the team that's there. Here's Kurt and Cheryl. She is not there any longer. She had been there, needed to come home. I think I sent a prayer request out about that back in February or something, whenever she needed to come home. So she did go back to help sing, and they're singing. Most of their songs are in Polish, which is a very difficult language to learn. For those of us that suffered through our English class, the different verb tenses, this is what we would say in English. Eat, eats, ate, eaten, eating. This is how you say all of that in Polish. Because it's difference with male or female, forward or past tense or whatever. I have no idea. If you're inside eating or you're outside eating, do you want to say some of those words? Hey, you can point to them and say some of the words.
Well, they're all the same word. I mean, so the first word is yesh, and that just means to eat. And then after that is exactly like he's saying, whether a man is eating, a woman is eating. Just whether it's present continuous. So I'll just read just the first couple so that you know how many different ways we can say it. Yesh, zyesh, yadach, zyadach, yem, zyem, Yadams, yadams. So the nice thing is you can see that you could absolutely, I could teach you to read Polish in very little time because every letter has a sound.
Yeah, you're not going to have silent letters like you do in some of the English language. It's not silent, and so again, it all means something. So now you get an idea of why it might take an eternity to learn. But Carla's teacher has said that she has mastered the precise pronunciation of it very, very well, and that is a credit to your prayers. It really is. Please continue to pray for her. She's still learning it. She was a very adequate tour guide for us as we went quite a different way around. She could interpret for us actually quite well. Here's a message that she would have for you, and I'll let her give it to you in her words.
Hey, y'all. It's Carla just popping in to say hello and to give you a personal note of thanks for your continued prayer and support as I serve here in Minsk Mazowiecki, Poland, in case you were wondering how to pronounce that name. It hasn't been without trials, but God has been faithful. And it has also been just a huge encouragement to know that I have such a huge family that is lifting me up in prayer, sending notes of encouragement, messages, whatever it is. And it's just been a true encouragement and true blessing. Two verses actually, that have been a huge encouragement for me is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I can personally say that God's peace has been amazing, and just recently was really struck with the power of verse 6, where we're supposed to remember the things of the past, be grateful for them, and then bring our current problems to God, knowing that He's been faithful in the past, He'll be faithful again, and the peace of Him will, the peace that He gives us will continue to be over us as we continue on. May God richly bless you as you continue to serve Him there. Pray that you would just feel His presence, feel His nearness as you continue in your everyday lives and wherever God takes you. Thank you so much.
As I was reading there from 1 Corinthians, or from 2 Corinthians, and talk about the glory that shines out. She had a student that comes from a very dark place, as there's lots of heartache. Yeah, you can switch that around. As there's lots of different heartache because there's plenty of broken homes, drunkenness, sorts of things like that that is part of their Polish culture. And this was her testimony that she had to share about Carla. Of all those who she has worked with that proclaim Jesus Christ, she said, you're the one that your face shines and it radiates out what Jesus has done in your life. That's what 2 Corinthians 3 was talking about. And He can radiate out in your life and in my life also. Are there any particular questions about Carla, or do you want to let that go till later afterwards? She's just finished up her first year. That's a 2-year commitment. Don't know if she'll stay for the third yet or not, but I do know that's where she's at here currently, and she's not planning to come home anywhere in between time as of now. So, she'll be Polish for 2 years straight almost till she gets back. So, all right, I'm going to turn the time over to Shannon and then let him share, and I guess you can do some Q&A later on.
All right, maybe it'll be best if I stick close to this and keep me moving better. Thank you, Wilmer. It was interesting for me to see the perspective of a visitor. And he didn't give you any false information except for one thing that I want. He spoke of pictures of Warsaw, of the buildings being so old. But Warsaw was completely destroyed in World War II, almost to the point of not one brick on top of each other. So everything you saw in Warsaw was rebuilt. Now Krakow, the center, the lower one in the southern, not so much. But an interesting story about the Russians here, because you had an uprising in Warsaw in that city in 1940. I think in 1940, the Polish underground army planned an uprising against the Germans. And they had an agreement with the Russians that were just across the Wisła River that when we start this, you're going to come across the river and help us push the Germans out. The Russians cemented their legacy as not being liked by the Poles because they let the uprising start against the Germans and they just stayed over on their side of the bank, didn't come across, and the Germans absolutely crushed the uprising, and then Hitler just sent in tanks and told them to blow every building apart. So it wasn't so significant, except I just wanted people to know the devastation to the city. And one of the beautiful things about that is it does show the resurgence of the human spirit, so that your friends in Ukraine who you're seeing pictures of devastated cities, as the Lord tarries, the human beings have this amazing ability. It's not just from within ourselves, but to be resilient and to build back up. So, okay, I would like to first just say thank you to you folks. It's been a huge blessing to be here today. Thank you especially to the Mission Committee, who I believe has put together an exceptional time. And when I say that, I'm not talking about me and Wilmer. I'm talking about Joelle and I driving here tonight and just saying, this is a truly missional church. And like, we can feel that. I know it as two things. One is it's the long church. And the second part is I came here before anybody else was here tonight and was just walking around. And I saw boxes posted different places that say Ukrainian Relief Fund. And they're just little boxes, but it touched me because this is, I don't go to so many churches, but you are the most aware of that situation of anybody I've ever been with. And in fact, it made me go into my slideshow and actually take some stuff out just because I was like, they've seen this, they know this, they don't need another picture of the war. So I want to say God bless you, and anything about talking about AIM here tonight is not to get your focus to shift. It's to bring awareness, and if anything, I grabbed a card from the back that has Alex, your pastor friend in Ukraine. If anything, I want you to know about us so that we can help each other if that would ever be needed. So God bless you. We'll start quickly just by saying it's not just Joelle and I. This picture is a couple years old. The older I get, the more I just like to let the same picture up there. Both of our girls are taller than my wife now. And the one on the far left, let's see if I get pointers. Is it the middle button?
Yes.
Erin is 16, and she is in Poland currently, helping helping short term with the logistics work of the Hope Singers tour. Braden, my son, is 12. Joella, my wife, is, okay, won't tell you. And then McKenna is 8, and Jaina is 18. Quick tidbit that Jaina here is 18 years old, but I would say we would likely be living in Poland if it weren't for her. She was born in a prison near us, so she is 18, so 18 years ago, and she lived with us for the first 2 years of her life. It's really a story that you might sometime in the future read a book or a movie. I don't know, because she lived for 2 years and then 9 years back with her mother all over the place in Harrisburg area. I mean, we're talking, we would go try to find her. We have been in the armpit of Derry Street, in Vernon Street in Harrisburg, trying to find her. So she had a very tumultuous life for 9 years. We were living in Poland in 2017 when she came back into the state's care, and it's just a miracle. I asked a Jewish lady, is it possible that you're an angel? Because I knew she doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but I said, you are our angel, because it was a volunteer that connected us with her, because we're not in the legal papers. She's the one that told the attorneys, there's this family, there's this Mennonite family. And then when she told them they live in Poland, they all laughed, kind of like, well, what are they going to do? But I flew home, went to a hearing for her, and the judge said, as soon as you get home, we'll put her in your home. And so we flew home 3 weeks later. So that would have been the staff. We were the mission directors at that point, but some really, really capable people stepped in. And now she's adopted. And just the end of last month, our two oldest daughters were baptized. So I know where my focus is to be. And yeah. This has already been up there. All I want to say here real quickly is that it's interesting that Paul and Dwayne and a few of you moved to Ukraine in 2001. That is the same year that we moved to Poland. And it's really connected to an obvious fact, and that is the falling of the Iron Curtain coming down, which doesn't clang when it comes down, but the Iron Curtain falls. And I remember as a young boy, that was in 1989, my dad said, Eastern Europe will be open to missionaries. We had no idea that our church would start a mission there. But as you can see, again, the proximity, and I'm moving quickly because you've already seen a couple of those pictures. This here is what a lot of people call them concentration camps, but they are death camps. Okay, just remember, there are lots of words designed to make you feel more okay about it. Late term abortion, that's killing babies. Okay, so this 6 to 8 feet between those two barbed wire fences, if you were on one side in World War II, you were not coming out alive. And if you were on the other side, you had a terrible thing to deal with in your conscience that you knew your neighbors or your friends or, you know, were inside and could not get out and were dying. So that 6 feet was significant. There's another 6 feet that is what makes me care about missions. And that's the 6 feet that separates me from where I'm going to be placed someday on earth. And this is a cemetery that's not far from Carla's, where Carla lives. And it's acres. And every time I go there or take somebody there, I go almost first thing to the graveyard and just stand there with them and let it sink in that most of these died without knowing Christ. And I'm not saying it judgmentally. I know that's not my job to say for sure yet, but for sure, but the part I do know is they probably did not know or hear about that you can walk with Jesus and in the kingdom of God. So that's a motivator for me, and I want to just impress that into my children, no matter where you live. And it's a call again, that same 6 feet is universal. It is a path that on one side is life, and if you do not know Christ, on the other side is darkness. And that is our mission, is to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. And the vision for Poland is that there would be a group of God's people. We are not the only ones. We are the only conservative Anabaptist that I know of there. But we showed up and got to be a part of, actually depend on some of God's people there. But that we specifically have a vision to have that be an opportunity for those who are interested in, this way of following Christ. I believe in it. I really passionately care about it, but not to the exclusion of my other Christian brothers there. This is just a picture of our board, and I'm aware, since you're mostly strangers, you're probably not drawing many connections, but I'll put it there just in case you want to ask me later, who was the guy with hair or the orange shirt or whatever. I am currently serving as the board chairman. So again, it reflects to say thank you to the committee, because I know a bit of work it takes to lead. But it's an honor for me. I have a really, really good team. And it's made up of, first of all, I should say that it's mostly supported, the mission is mostly supported by my church and our sister church.
So it starts in Guy's Mills. Remember I told you the vision came from my father. And it doesn't end there. It's grown to include, we have board members from a few other congregations. But that's where our official connection is, as a ministry of the church. This is Matt and Deborah Gingrich, and he is the director. They came to take our place when we left. His wife, interestingly, is a daughter of Ken Miller, which most of you, I know some of you serve on the ABT council group, but you surely were praying for him or heard, I assume, of when he has spent, I think, 3 years in jail. Yeah, close. So his daughter, it's his oldest daughter, Deborah, and their two children. On the left is Jaden and Jewel Kilmer and their two children. This is the youngest member of the team. She is about a month and a half, 2 months old. Yeah. This is another thing that indirectly Carla would be providing, as being like an auntie or something for them, because there's times where I know they fill in with helping with some childcare. And Brenda Weaver was already mentioned. She is a huge blessing. Especially through times of sickness. She's a nurse. I think of her as, when we brought her, or when she showed interest and we were like, well, we're not sure if we have a role. Yeah, let's try this. Let me tell you, there is a place for 60-year-olds on the mission field. And I want you all to hear that. There is a place for you. Not every time. You probably aren't going to be running the marathon to the next city. You can if you want. But her place, when she came, she didn't know why God was calling her. And she still sometimes asks the question. But from a mission board member standpoint, she has totally blessed us and filled in many gaps that I would say she's there for such a time as this. I bring this up to make sure you're aware of an absence on our team. This is Laverne and Lolita Hirschberger, who have lived there for 20 years. So they went there at the same time that you went to Ukraine, Duane, and stayed there until last January. And they moved back to Georgia, which is a strange thing. Don't ever invite your missionaries back home after 20 years, because they do not feel like they're coming home. Just remember that. Even 1 or 2 years, that can be a hard adjustment. But they did move back to Georgia. And he was the pastor of Agape. And at that point, they had hopes and dreams to have leadership established before they left, but their departure date was set. And at this point, this is a major prayer I'm concerned, or maybe God's calling you to. There is still a lack of leadership. There are some eligible people, but there's, and I'll just explain, like one of the most eligible men, his wife does not come to church. I don't think that means he can't be the pastor. It just means it complicates how they're thinking through this. So currently they're taking turns. Matt, this Polish brother or two, Peter and Leszek and Jaden, they take turns 6 months at a time. I think we could, or the best word we could use it is being the chairman of the brotherhood or something. There's no ordination yet. So we're praying with them about that. And I want to make it clear that the mission board really supports Agape, but we do not direct their affairs, especially since Laverne has come back. And I call them and talk to them sometimes and say, this really matters to us for this reason, but I don't carry a vote or assign who's going to be the leader. And I will take care of the time here. This is what we do. I've already mentioned Agape Mennonite Church. Carla is attending there. It's in the same building. If it takes a lot of give and take to exist in a situation like that. Agape absorbs a lot to have AIM there. They have to make room and you know move our desks around. But then Agape benefits as well, because it really boosts their numbers. They have people who are willing to teach, even visitors. So I think it's a huge blessing. And when the pastor left, it was interesting talking to Duane. They asked the same question your church in Ukraine asked when they left suddenly. The board, I asked them, do you want to keep having a church, or do you care about Mennonite belief, practice, and values? Not that it wasn't evident at all, but they weren't just like drinking it as a like out of a fountain. And they thought about it not very long, and the universal answer that came back, we want to stay a church. And we want to, you know, extend this tradition. So that we are sorting that out. We do not claim to be experts or with them. I am really standing with them as they do that. Gateway to English, as mentioned, that's probably the primary daily work. When somebody says, how do you reach out? It's through that. I have a few stories for you then. Local refugee care and support. This is people that are, and right after the war, they flooded into Poland. And so there was just need for housing. So we at that time rented 9 apartments. And like, it takes a lot of work to keep them maintained. And it's like kind of being an apartment manager without it being your Airbnb. And most of those groups, more often than not, it's a grandmother, her daughter, and a granddaughter or two. And sometimes, but not often, you know, an older man is with them. And I think you're familiar enough with the Ukraine situation to know why. Then we have literature ministry with Seed of Truth. And some of that going into Ukrainian now, since we have so many Ukrainians. And the Hope Singers, which is every 2 years. If you ever want to join a choir tour, we would love to have you join that. It's every 2 years, and you just sign up on our website, which I will have up later. I'll talk just a bit about refugee care. If you see this picture, it looks to me like this is the kind of thing you guys are supporting. And this we used to do. We used to load up vans and haul it into Ukraine until we started getting word back from Ukrainian pastors and local leaders saying it actually hurts our business when you bring in goods from another country. So I don't know what you do, but I think I understood that a lot of it is you're supporting monetarily and then buying from Ukraine, and that is a really helpful way. I commend you for that. We have stopped sending aid in for that reason. We've continued to work with the apartments. I think we're down to 5 or 6 now, and I'll say just a bit more about that at the end. This is just my reflection when I was there last time, like trying to sort through how does one really help in this situation. I have no need to. I cut out a bunch of pictures, especially one of children who were hurt. But just to remember, this is only a couple weeks old. I think 2 weeks old, and it was in Kiev. So I'm grateful I don't need to remind you. Usually I need to remind churches there still is a war going on. You're very aware. This is inside an apartment, and just I see them trying to be happy, but imagine, you know, we're a little uncomfortable because the speaker's talking too long. So, you know, we're that was supposed to be funny. You can laugh. I know. This is going a little late. We get a little uncomfortable that these people are living without their loved ones. And so it's a real ministry. And often we have just found them to be not sponges at all. They sometimes don't know where to go next or how to lay their plans. Their husband's still in Ukraine. So that's a stuck place. But they help with anything they can. And you'll see a few pictures of them helping us pack Ukrainian literature. And they also pushed Matt to start learning a third language so that, you know, we even have some. Did they translate to Ukrainian the Sunday you were there? They just Polish, and yeah, English. It becomes really, really cumbersome to go 3 languages. We try to provide outings for them to make something, especially in the early days of the war. They were traumatized. And I know we use that word way too freely now. But, you know, you take them to the zoo or to the park or for coffee. And here I want to take a minute and just share something about how I want to encourage you in your work, what you do, not the giving to Ukraine, just like what you're going to do tomorrow morning. Go out and do it with everything you've got. And it is so significant because this story is, this is a manor house about 10 kilometers away. And when the war started, our pastor Laverne started sending me messages. We need to do this, we need to do that. And I couldn't keep up with it. And one of the things that started coming out was there's all these orphanages in Ukraine and got to get the orphans out. So I had a connection with a fellow from Mississippi who was invested in that. So he started calling us because we're the only people in Poland that, you know, had any remote connection to these, especially Mennonite connection people. So it was through my Bible school connection that we got there. And they started saying, we need to get, I think they said 700 Ukrainian orphans out of Poland. And I'm energetic, and I have some vision, but I remember thinking, no way, Jose. I mean, we don't even own a big enough vehicle. Well, this is why I encourage you to be faithful, because this person knows this person, that this person knows that person. So when you go to your work or in your neighbors, build those relationships. Because I will tell you, the pieces I'm getting ready to put together wouldn't happen without being there what we were 20 years. So can you get the 700 out? Yes, Cam knows a bus driver and he has a bunch of buses. That wasn't our work. I'm not going to take any credit for that to get the children out of Ukraine. Now we need a place for about 70 of them to stay and live. And that's when I thought we had crossed the ridiculous line. Like, I did not know where, what would we buy, a hotel or what. Well, Laverne says, hey, I was driving down the road about, and there's an old house that, you know, it looks like it could be fixed up. So he drives out there, and don't you know there's people already working on it. They are as, I think, as non-believers as they come. They're some of the richest business owners in our town. We have had our mayor as an English student before, and he's like, oh yeah, you can trust these guys. So we go out and talk to them. Why are you fixing the building up? They've got crews out there. I mean, there's no lack of money and crews to be working. Well, we don't know. We just feel like we want to have this fixed up. You know, there's a war going on. And well, would you be interested in, you know, hosting children? Well, which, don't you think the legal questions would come up like crazy? Well, what children and how are we going to work out legal arrangements? Yes, we would. Today, there are, it's up there, there are not 70 children there, but they are inside. These orphans have their, they kept their Ukrainian caretakers. They're living there. And I'm telling you, it was a major project that was done within a week. Just people basically working around the clock. Not us, not a work crew from home. This was the Catholic businessman who, since we were there long enough, oh, you're from Gateway to English. Yeah, you know, you're that Mennonite church. Yeah, I'll do it with you. I don't think he would have listened to us if we were brand new. Why do I share that with you? Go out and live each day. It really is what adds up to building trusting relationships. This is a picture of Agape Mennonite Church just a few months ago. I see Carla there, so I'm not sure. It was obviously cold because they have winter coats on. So quite a variety of people inside on a Sunday morning. That's when Laverne was still there. He's probably translating, and one of our board members is teaching. And just to answer maybe a curiosity you have, they just move desk around and open a curtain and have church in the same place that's used as part of the school. Here is the team that, as I think it was already shown, that Carla teaches with. There's going to be a new fellow going here in just a few weeks, and we are looking for a lady to help currently. Just to show, it's a conversational school, so I do that to soften the fears for the young people that are like, I can't teach school. No, you're not. You're not teaching technical grammar, and it's not always this relaxed, but it is a relaxed. And can you imagine that I would tell you your job is to build relationships with people? Now, those of you who have a missional relational heart be like, sign me up, yeah. And it's in your language, even as though it's their second language. So without having asked her, I'm sure Carla has had probably a lot of days go by without anything significant like the rest of our lives do. But then there's that time that's just the right moment, maybe over ice cream, where she can talk to someone about the Lord. And then they've started this. This is something during our time there that we started. It was called Small Talk. And that's an evening after school, make a party and invite them to come back after school. And this is children, adults, maybe the child comes to school, bring your parent along. And we hear over and over again that the thing we love about your school is it's peaceful. If you noticed, our symbol is a bird and is a dove. And I am so glad to hear that Carla is adding to that testimony. Just one more picture of that. And then Brenda working here with our school secretary, Ella, just interacting with moms and parent children again. It's a huge opportunity. I'm not going to start telling stories. It's not like droves, but this is most connections in the church, and some of them have not stayed at our church and gone to, you know, a Baptist church down the road. But I think 99% of connections we've made that are in connection with the church today came through English as a second language. We do package literature and send it throughout Poland, as well as there is some now that's Ukrainian, and I want to give Cam credit for doing the the work of printing these and sending them to us. We build the list, and you get help from the Ukrainians and even Amish. Yes, you correctly identified that. He is from my hometown, and his brother was serving there. If there's anything I love, it's diversity. I don't mean unreasonable diversity, but I'm talking about just where we thought the limits were before, and we're like, oh, they're actually really amazing people. So I love that we had an Amish guy packing Seed of Truth in Poland along with Ukrainian refugees. Matt is also packing them up. This is Kristen. Kristen has an evangelistic heart on her own initiative, not directed by the mission. She says, hey, I'm going to hand out children's Bibles. We have a lot of them available. And I find it interesting that she made balloon swords, because that's a really good thing for a Mennonite to be handing out. You know, we have swords, but they're harmless. This is a great sandwich that you can grab for just a buck, and it's called a zapiaconca. Did you have one?
Something similar to that.
Okay, similar, yeah. This is from the coffee shop that if Carla drinks coffee, she goes here, but I put it here so that you could see. Just be reminded. At one, not long ago, you would just look on the internet and it would have said Poland is over, it still would say over 90% Catholic. And I want to be careful there. That doesn't mean none of those 90% are teaching and following Jesus. But I will assure you, it's very low. It's not the standard. It's not the expectation. It's not likely what you'll encounter from your priest. More likely, you're talking about something that runs more like a business. Okay, and they're going to have you connected to needing to do confessional and pay for your funerals and to absolve sins. And in fact, if you ever visit in the first weekend in November, that graveyard I showed you will be lit up like a light bulb. And people will have spent hours out there decorating their relatives' graves, which for my benefit is beautiful, but at the same time, extremely sad. Extremely sad. They tend to think they're doing something there. So we have that just reminder. Every day she probably walks close to this church, and it should keep that focus there. I already mentioned Hope Singers. If you ever wonder when it is, it's the even year. It's in July, the end of July, or middle to the end of July. And it's a great way to get to visit Poland, maybe see Carla, and also, get to think about maybe whether it's the place you'd want to serve. So I really invite young people to that. Then this is a picture of our mayor. I've had English lessons with him in his stately office. And he knows a lot about us. He knows why we're in Poland. He doesn't know the Lord. But here he is. They're giving him a chance to throw an American football. It's at a party in town. So we don't know. We look down the road of the future. At the end of this picture is that manor house I showed you. So when we first drove in there to imagine that it would someday house Ukrainian children, it was a far shot, and God made it possible. So I close with just reminding us that whatever the needs are, God provides, and it's through his people. So I've mentioned current needs. Also, I've got our web address up there. We're looking for a lady teacher at Gateway to English. We ask for a 2-year commitment, and our volunteers tend to be a bit on the older side because there's, I don't know how Wilmers feel, but there's quite a bit of freedom. They run their own lives outside of when they're teaching school. They've got an apartment. And so tend to be a bit older. Mid-20s is common. We are also looking for a family or a couple interested in long-term mission. The next step for AIM in terms of what we envision for the future is some staff staying there long-term and helping to build Agape and not dependent on AIM. They may have jobs. We have one man who's particularly working on that. Jaden is trying to explore some business options. Unfortunately, and I say to my regret, that's something AIM did not pay attention to in the first 20 years, was how to build something sustainable while we're there. We made a mistake at the beginning where we told people to be missionaries and build it. I remember that. I was on the board. Can you go over and like get your family adjusted to this new culture? And at the same time, can you start a business? We soon realized that was asking them to do something very unwise. So we're not doing that anymore, but we are continuing to pursue that. Refugee Apartments, I just highlighted because it's on a timeline. It had such an inflow of cash at the beginning of the war, and that's why I'm blessed by you guys, because you're still really aware and still really invested in caring for people there. But most places I go, personally and as a church, they're not anymore. So I just remind them that we're on a timeline with this. We are running low in cash. We're trying to be responsible with how many apartments we actually keep functioning. But we are also open to how the Lord leads. We will not run it out of thin air. So, and then also just support and pray for our other work, Seed of Truth, GTE. And I thank you. And I'm going to ask you now, change of position, to stand. And it's a lot to ask you to sing a song yet, but it's a good song, and it's really connected to Wilmer's sermon this morning. So this is written by a fellow that I go to church with, Wendell Glick. And if you don't know it, that's fine, because I just will act like I'm not embarrassed and sing it, the first verse, by myself. But it's a really powerful song, and it goes so well with what Wilmer shared with us. We're going to close with this for my part tonight. I do apologize. It took a little longer than what I think we thought it would. So let's sing together and just really sing it out. Like, don't worry, like, oh, I'm not sure if I see that note quite right. I hope some of you know it. So we'll start. All verses. Seeds that good farmers sow sometimes sprout, thrive, and grow. Some are trampled under feet, some are withered in the heat. But the seed that falls on soil, not on rocks or path or weeds, will find water with its roots, then grow up to make more seeds. Grace as God freely sows, sometimes sprout, thrive, and grow. Some are trampled under feet, some are withered in the heat. But when grace finds fertile ground, it will grow in faith that lives, bearing fruit that shares the taste of the grace God freely gives. Words that fall where we sow sometimes sprout, thrive, and grow. Some are trampled under feet, some are withered in the heat. But the hearts that God prepares in the people who have heard will find faith to live and grow, then go out to spread the word. Amen. Hallelujah. I invite you just to stay standing, and I will give a, I think if we're standing, it make you know that I'm really fine if you don't have questions. But I'll give time if anybody has a question they would like to ask. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Derek.